perspective makes, doesn't it? Amen. And you know, my Bible tells me that God has made us to sit in heavenly places with the Lord. Isn't that what the Bible says? And you know what that means? That means that our perspective ought to be different in trials and in tribulations and in difficulties and in circumstances related to this life. Our perspective ought to be a heavenly perspective. What's this mountain to an eagle? Every time I think of the words to that song, it just touches me. I just picture an eagle flying high up there. And really, what does that mountain mean to that eagle? Not a thing. It's that mountain, that is not an obstacle to that eagle. He's just going to go where he's going. That mountain don't mean nothing to him. It's those of us that are landlocked, that are, you know, those of us that can't get off the ground who are having trouble. But when you're an eagle, that mountain's nothing. All it is a little hill down there that you're looking at. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Thank God for anointed songwriters who write these beautiful songs. Sister Carol, Carol Magruder is the husband. Priscilla is the wife. Sang that at the UPC General Conference, and man, oh me, oh my, what an anointing. Man, you could just feel the power of God in that meeting. I love to hear that lady sing, because when she sings something, she sings like she's been there and she knows what she's talking about. She doesn't just sing to entertain. She sings like she's coming from somewhere and she knows. And I found out recently, didn't even know, that lady's been through a radical mastectomy recently. And so she knows what she's talking about. And bless her heart. If you have your Bibles tonight, you'd open them, please, to John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. We'll read through verse 9. John chapter 5. Going to talk to us tonight on the topic of dealing directly with the source. Dealing directly with the source. We stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, and the King James reads, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. I want to point something out to you. For those folks that will try to tell you that when the word is translated Lord, referring to Jesus, that it is not an acknowledgement of his divinity, that Lord simply means the same thing that is otherwise translated as Sir. Well, notice here that the translators translated it Sir. Because that's what he was calling him, Sir. He only knew him as a man. He only saw him as a man. So he didn't say, Lord. No, he said, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Feels like every time where you can be right on the edge of the greatest blessing and miracle in your life, and yet without fail, somebody else just seems to creep in just ahead of you. Somebody else gets the job promotion. Somebody else gets the raise. Somebody else gets that thing that you'd love to have, right? But listen, he said, Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Master, we love you tonight. We thank you, God, for this, our second opportunity today to be in the house of God. Lord, we're grateful for the presence of God that we felt in this place, in each and every song. Heaven's Jubilee, Master. We rejoice tonight in the knowledge that one day we'll experience Heaven's Jubilee. We're grateful to God today, Lord, that we have a desire in our heart not to become adjusted to this world, not to become a part of this system, but, Lord, to forever and always remember and remain separate from the sinful things of this world so that, Lord, we'll always be available to you, holy and righteous and sanctified. And, Master, tonight, as we come into the preaching of the Word of God, we implore you, by all that is holy, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost flow in this place today. Anoint the ears of everyone that would hear, whether they be in this building, whether they hear by internet or on tape, Master, by whatever means, allow them to feel and sense the anointing of the Holy Ghost, to know that tonight this is truth, this is important. This is a word that is able to bring life and breath into their spiritual man. Master, in the name of Jesus, breathe life into every individual hearing this word tonight. Let your life be translated into them. Grant it, God, for we ask it in none other than Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise God and amen. Isn't it interesting that the pool of Bethesda had five porches and people would fill up those porches? Because at some time, unannounced and unseen, an angel would enter the water and disturb the water. And as the angel would do this, the very first one who was able to maneuver their way into that water would receive a healing of whatever disease or whatever condition they might have. So basically, it was like playing the lottery. Everybody there wasn't going to get healed. If you happened to be one of many who were there who saw the troubling of the water, that wasn't good enough. You had to be the very first one in after the water had been troubled. And here comes the man Jesus Christ. And he walks up on one of these porches and sees a man lying there who is unable to move, has a very difficult time moving. And the Lord asks this man a question. It's interesting, first of all, that the Scripture said that this man had an infirmity 38 years, and it also tells us the Lord knew how long he had had his infirmity. I want you to know tonight, God knows how long you've been going through your trouble. God knows how long your trial has been lasting. God knows every ounce and every inch of your circumstance and your situation. There is not one trial come your way that God is a day short of knowing how long you've been in it. Amen. God knows how long it's been. And God has pity on us when we have a long time been struggling with something. And this man had for 38 years struggled with this ailment. And Jesus asked him a question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" It's a simple question. All it requires is a yes or no answer. You don't have to give me a big explanation. Michael's like me. Ask us a yes or no question and we'll give you a 40-minute answer. I do the same thing, so I can't complain. You know, we always tease Aunt Dorothy about her. You know, I'll say to her, "Aunt Dorothy, is this one of your red shoe stories?" And then she'll begin to tell me all over again. Well, you know how they got to saying that about red shoe stories is because I had these red shoes once, see, and somebody asked me where I bought them at, and I started to tell them, "Well, you know, one Saturday, it was about 6, and no, it wasn't 6 either, it was probably around 6:30. Well, no, it couldn't have been 6:30 because I believe we already ate. Probably it was around 7 or 7:30. But no, that's right. Your grandmother called me about 7 o'clock, so probably it had to have been later than that." And you know what? All the details just really don't matter. Nobody cares. You're not adding to the story by telling me exactly what second of the day you did what you did. But that wouldn't be good enough because then I'd hear about how, "Well, Uncle T offered to take me out for breakfast, and so we went over to Denny's." No, it wasn't Denny's either. I think we actually went to the IHOP. Yep, it was the IHOP either. We went to the Cracker Barrel. That's what it was. Yeah, we went to Cracker Barrel. The check was $13.94. Was it 94? T, was it 94 cents and $13? Or was it, 96 cents. So it's $13.90. Now you see what I'm getting at? All you ask is a yes or no question. And you get this big old long answer that just drones on and on. And you get details to the story that you're just like, it doesn't matter. You know, if you tell me a gorilla attacks you in the parking lot, I don't care if it's a gray gorilla, a green gorilla, a purple gorilla, a black gorilla. It doesn't matter. It was a gorilla. You know what I'm saying? That's all I need to know is that a gorilla attacked you. I don't need to know what color it was. You don't have to tell me how many fingers it had on its hand or whatever. There are details that are unimportant. Sometimes God asks us questions, and like this man, instead of giving the Lord a simple yes or no answer, we have all kinds of reasoning we want to spill out to him and all kinds of explanation. And this man begins to go into a big explanation. Well, sir, I have no man. Boy, a lot of people complain in that way these days. Sir, I have no man. Lord, I ain't got a man. That's one of the most common complaints I've heard. I had a nickel for everybody running around complaining that way. But listen, he said, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, I don't have anybody to help me. I don't have anybody to assist me. So what winds up happening is, as I'm trying to get there, someone else steps down ahead of me. And they get that healing. But you know what? I just imagine the Lord in his mind, while this man's giving this big explanation, I can just imagine the Lord in his mind saying, I didn't ask you if you could get to the water. I asked you if you wanted to be healed. I didn't ask you if you had the ability to get into the water. I asked you if you wanted to be healed. Oh, if only that man had known that at that moment, oh, hallelujah, he didn't need to go to his healing had come to him. He didn't need to go to the water because the God of the angel that troubled the water had stepped up and stood next to him and asked him, wilt thou be made whole? He didn't need to go to the water because the water had come to him. And this man didn't even know it. He didn't even see it. He didn't even realize that at that moment in time, he was dealing directly with the source of healing. The one that provided the healing when the angel would touch the water is the same one he was talking to at that moment in time. He was dealing not with a middleman, but he was dealing with the source. Hallelujah. And he didn't even realize it. Didn't even have a clue. The man by the pool of Bethesda, I have no man. I have nobody to help me. Today I hear these excuses from people. I don't know anyone who believes I can be saved. I don't have anyone who preaches the message of hope for people like me. No one wants to welcome me into their church. Oh yes, you see, they're saying just like that man, I don't have a man to help me. There is no man, there is no human being that wants to assist me in the struggle that I'm going through to get what I need from God. You don't need a man to help you get what you need from God. You've got God standing beside you asking you tonight, wilt thou be made whole? Hallelujah. And tonight, as you hear this message on the internet, and as you hear this message by tape, and as you hear this message in this room, I want you to know God is standing above you, and he's declaring to you, wilt thou be made whole? Hallelujah. Don't give me a long roundabout explanation. Just answer yes or no. You don't need a man. You don't need someone to help you. The truth of the matter is this today, even if that man did have men to assist him, there was no guarantee that he would have been the first into the pool after the water had been troubled. Those crowded around the outer deck of this pool would clamor for the water at the first sign of its being troubled. I wonder how many false starts were made and folks wound up wet but not healed. I thought I saw the water troubled, so they jumped in fast. Come on, think about it. Can you imagine how many times some poor bird flying overhead had to let go of what his baggage he was carrying, you know, and it dropped into the pool, and this poor cripple fool saw this water suddenly go ripple, 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 and they went, and jumped into the water. I'm going to get healed. No, you're not. You're going to get wet and have bird turd on you. But don't you know, if you were desperately in need of a healing, don't you think that you'd be inclined to jump at the first sign of the movement of the water? Don't you think you'd be inclined? I wonder how many false starts were made. Boy, I can just imagine how many people jumped in that water at different times, and the whole crowd of them all crippled and all messed up trying to get back up out of the water again. Wet now. Lord, ain't bad enough I'm crippled, now I'm soaking wet. Lord, it's not bad enough I'm blind, now I'm wet and blind. But don't you think people get excited at at any sign of the movement of the water that they would jump in there? What was to guarantee this man that even if he had people who could support him and help him and encourage him, what was the guarantee that they could get him there first? There was no guarantee. So this man was relying on the wrong thing from the get-go. See, a lot of times, folks, there are a lot of people in our community today who are relying upon the wrong thing from the get-go. I have no man. There's no preacher who preaches that I can get into heaven. There's no church that tells me that I am suitable to serve God. And they think that because there's no man, there's no human being available to help them in their journey, that it's not available to them. But their source is not man. Their source is God. And when God comes to you, you're dealing directly with the source, hallelujah, and you don't have to go through a middleman. Michael, I've talked to a lot of people in the community who go to churches, mainstream churches, and you know why they go to mainstream churches? Because between them and God, they figured it out. And they said, I can go to mainstream church and my preacher can preach against this and preach against that all he wants to, and you know what? I don't care. Because I know better, and I'm going to serve God anyhow, and I'm going to be a child of God anyhow, and it don't matter to me if he wants to preach ugly like that, let him preach ugly like that, because I know better. Because I'm dealing directly with the source, and I'm not going to let the middleman turn me off. I'm not going to let the middleman turn me away. I'm not going to let anybody stand in between God and I, but I'm going to deal directly with the source. I want you to know tonight, children, we need to learn to deal directly with the source. We need to understand when God comes to us and asks us a question, it's don't you worry about, but Lord, I don't have anybody help me pay my bills. I don't have anybody help me to do this. I don't have anybody help me to do that. God says, I didn't ask you if you had anybody to help you. I asked you if you wanted my help. Amen? I asked you if you wanted my help. We've got to stop looking for men to offer us assistance, or at least the assistance we think we need, and recognize that the Creator and the Healer is standing before us asking, will you be made whole? Our excuses and carnal reasoning mean little to Him who is able to do by the word of His mouth what angels cannot do. Do you hear me now? By the word of His mouth, God, the Lord would have been able to have done something for that man that that angel could never do. All the angel could do was what God told him to do. And when he troubled that water, one person would get their healing. But he wasn't dealing at that moment with an angel. He was dealing with that angel's Creator. And he didn't realize, hey, this guy, all he has to do is open his mouth and things happen. Read Mark 4. If only this man had only realized that this same man he was talking to had calmed the storm by the word of his mouth. Read John chapter 2. If only that man realized that this man he was speaking to had turned water into wine with nothing more than the word of his mouth. John chapter 11. If only this man had realized that this Jesus had raised a man who had lain 4 days dead by nothing more than the word of his mouth. If only that lame man had known that this man Jesus had spoken to a man taken with the palsy. And this man immediately leaped from his bed and worshiped God by nothing more than the word of Jesus' mouth. The Lord never touched him, never laid a hand on him. He just said, get up and walk. And when he said it, it happened. If only that man laying at Bethesda realized who he was talking to, he would have realized that this Jesus had commanded demons to depart from men and women long possessed and oppressed of the devil by nothing more than the word of his mouth. Read Matthew 8. Read Mark 1:25, Mark 5 and 8, Mark 9:14 through 29, if you want some background on what I've just told you. If that little lame man at Bethesda had only known who he was talking to, then he would have realized that he was now dealing directly with the source. Children, if the Lord can do all this, if he can calm the raging sea, if he can call Lazarus from the dead, if he can turn water into wine with nothing more than the sound of his voice, surely there is healing for you and I. Surely there's help for you and I. Surely there's deliverance and salvation for you and I today. Whatever our circumstance or whatever our situation may be. The question today is not what can God do, but rather what can we believe God to do. Hallelujah. It's not about what can God do. God can do anything he wants to do. The problem is, what can we believe God to do? What can we actually, honestly, sincerely, earnestly believe God to do? Romans chapter 4, 13 through 22. Y'all hear me refer to this portion of Scripture frequently. And I'm going to tell you, I believe this is one of the most pivotal portions of Scripture in the entire New Testament. And yet, I guarantee you that the majority of churches glance over it every once in a while, and they really don't devote a lot of time or a lot of attention to it. And you hear me refer to it in almost every message that I preach because it's that pivotal. This is the portion of Scripture that said, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. I'm constantly bringing this portion of Scripture out to your remembrance because you need to get this in your mind and in your heart and in your spirit. God calls those things which be not as though they were. God sees today something that doesn't even exist yet, but it exists in his mind and in his eye because he said so. Hallelujah. God doesn't call it because you are it. God calls you it because he said you'd be it. And when God says you'll be it, that promise is as sure as anything that has ever been printed on paper. It is as sure as anything that has ever been established in the earth. And my friend, when God says it, it is so. Hallelujah. So when God says to you, whether you're straight, gay, blind, black, white, cross-eyed, or ugly, when God says to you, you are saved, you're a child of God, I have separated you unto myself, glory to God, pack your bags and get ready for heaven, because you're going, glory to God. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what the radio personality says. Because when God says it, it's so. And that's something we need to understand today. This man was standing there talking to someone who by the word of his mouth was able to bring healing to his body. And yet his only answer was, I don't have anybody. I don't have anybody. You talk to people and they feel lost and hopeless and they feel like they have no place in God. And the first answer they'll give you is, well, this preacher says this, and that preacher says that, and I grew up in a church that preaches this, and I grew up in a church that preaches that, and I'll sit there and say to myself, that's all well and good, but what does God say? What has the Lord said about it? Have you talked to Jesus about it? Well, no, I'm just relying upon what I've been taught. I'm just relying upon what I've been told. Well, that's your first mistake. Amen. That's your first mistake. Relying upon that which you've been taught. Relying upon that which you've been told. Relying upon human beings to be there to help you find the answer. That's your first mistake. And it's a fatal mistake. You don't need to wait for a man to help you into the water. Jesus is standing before you. And he's asking the question tonight, will thou be made whole? You don't need anybody to help you get wet. All you need to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's all you need to do. Say, yes, Lord. I want you to know tonight, Romans 14, 10 through 14. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, I live, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Tommy, I don't need a man to help me into the water, because in the final analysis, I'm going to stand alone before God. I could have 800 people ready to throw me into the pool of Bethesda. I could have thousands of friends and family members and supporters ready to dunk me in the water the minute the angel trebled it. But when it's all said and done in the final analysis, I'm going to stand alone before God. And I'm going to have to give account, not of you, not of my mother and my father, my grandparents. I'm going to have to give account of myself before God. So if that be true, why in the world, folks, do we keep dealing with middlemen and letting them dissuade us and letting them talk us out of serving God, letting them talk us out of our miracle, letting them talk us out of our healing, letting them talk us out of all the great things God can do? Why do we do that when we can deal directly with the source? Hallelujah. Paul said, Philippians 2, 12 and 13, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We're all going to stand before God. We're all going to give account of ourselves to the Lord one at a time. We'll not be responsible for anybody else. And Paul said in Philippians 2, work out your own salvation. Go to the source. You remember that old song? I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love, and it wrote my name above. Just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer wheel turning, then you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I've got some advice for people today who are not serving God because of what their preacher said. Quit talking to your preacher and start talking to Jesus. Come on now. I've got some news today for those people who have let their doctors convince them that they're dying and their body is soon to give out and they have no hope. Quit talking to your doctor and start talking to Jesus. Hallelujah. He may have something different to say. He's standing today asking you, will you be made whole? You want to be saved? I can get you saved. You want to be healed? I can get you healed. You want to be delivered? I can get you delivered. I'm not asking for excuses. I'm not asking for explanations. I'm not asking if anybody agrees with whether or not you can receive what I have to offer. I'm asking you, do you want it? And if you do, it's yours. Hallelujah. Tonight, just like the man at Bethesda, we are dealing with the source. We're dealing directly with the source. Amen. You want to do business with somebody and you want to get some decent customer service out of a company. Maybe you've had an employee of theirs that didn't treat you real well, or they didn't do their job very well. Best thing you can do is go as high up in that company as you can and deal directly with the source. Get up to the president. Get up to the CEO. Get up to the top dog. Because that way, when you're dealing with him, let me tell you, chances are 9 out of 10. The guy in the bottom rung oftentimes forgets that he represents something bigger than himself. Hello? Did you hear what I just said? The guy on the bottom rung a lot of times forgets that he represents something bigger than himself. A lot of preachers in the UPC tonight forget, brother, that they represent something a whole lot bigger than themselves. His name is Jesus. They forget that they're representing Jesus. They forget that they're supposed to be emulating Jesus. They forget that they're supposed to look like and act like and walk like and talk like Jesus, because they're at the bottom of the rung. But when you talk to the source, when you go to the top dog, I guarantee you, he will not forget that he represents something bigger. You go to the president of a company, he knows he represents IBM. He knows he represents Smith Corona. He knows he represents whatever company it is that you're dealing with. Their little scrawny salesman on the floor might have forgotten, but that president won't. And I'm telling you, folks, when we learn to deal directly with the source and we deal with Jesus, have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry. And he will answer by and by. You don't have to talk with the middleman. You don't need to be bothered with conversations with the doctor and conversations with the preacher or conversations with the priest. But no, you can have a conversation directly with the source. And you can get what you need from him. Hallelujah. Because he is the source. He's where it all starts. He's where it all finishes. Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. It starts with me, baby, and it ends with me. Comes around in one great big gigantic circle. You know, it starts right here. It's me. It comes all the way around. It comes back up the other side, and it's me again. Amen. So I want you to know today, whatever we need from God, the Lord has it for us. Whether we need salvation, whether we need healing, whether we need deliverance, whether we need financial help, whether we need a miracle in any way, shape, size, form, or fashion, the Lord has it. If we'll just learn to stop dealing with middlemen and stop worrying about whether or not there's a man around to help us, a man around to support us, a human being around to help support our position or to give our cause some sort of legs. No. We need to just deal directly with the source in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me tonight? Simple word of exhortation. Did you get something out of that? Okay, good. Praise God. Amen. Whew, I'm getting kind of warm in here. I was trying to keep the temperature comfortable, and it got warm in here. Ew. Anyway, Michael, brother, would you do me the honors of closing the service in prayer tonight?